So that kind of takes the campaign up to the present day. In conclusion, I want to just talk about some of the things that I've learned in the process of researching this history and writing this book. And I want to focus on three provocations that they made that I find really useful to understand in the contemporary world. The first provocation is this: the home is a workplace. We think about it, typically as a kind of respite from the world of work, as a kind of, a kind of safe haven from the world of market relations. But wages for housework really show that it's an essential part of it. And I think this really matters not just for those of us who care for children and do housework, in our own lives, but to whole groups of workers who do this actually for their profession, whose workplace is somebody else's home. And particularly, I want to talk about how wages for housework, many of the activists from that campaign went on to work alongside domestic workers who are fighting for recognition of the work they do in the home. Historically, domestic workers, house cleaners, home health aides have not been recognized under labor law, again, because of this idea that the home is not a workplace. And so a lot of their efforts, kind of culminated in 2011. The International Labor Organization passed Convention 189, otherwise known as Decent Work for Domestics, recognizing the home as a workplace and extending worker protections to all who work in the home. Now, a lot of places have yet to actually adopt this convention, but it's a really important step, I think, in actually dissolving that boundary that we set between the home and the workplace. A second provocation that I find really useful in kind of linking this historic campaign to the contemporary world is thinking about women's unpaid work as an alternative way of looking at austerity. In times of economic crisis, as I've talked about with the New York crisis of the 70s, some of the first things to be cut from the budget are things that support unpaid women's care work, or that support rather than cut women's care work. And Wages for Housework argued that cutting off social support was not just a matter of kind of tightening the belt and trimming budgets, but a way of exploiting coercing labor from women, a kind of form of freeloading on the work of women. And I want to just read to you a quotation from a Wages for Housework activist named Andaye. She was from Guyana, and she founded a Wages for Housework branch in Guyana in the 1980s. And she has this to say about structural adjustment programs that were imposed on Guyana in the 1980s, basically pushing governments to cut all these social programs. She wrote, "When prices rise and incomes plunge, whose job is it to walk from shop to shop and stall to stall in order to find the cheapest items of food, and then to go home and do the extra cooking that is required to make cheap items of food edible? When, as in Guyana, all the systems for the provision of safe water fail, who goes to fetch water daily from downstairs or the next street or 2 miles down the road except women? When, as in Guyana, we become prey to waterborne diseases, who has to try to hold the line against the total collapse of the immediate environment of the family except women?